Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Podcast Health. That's where you really should get all the medical podcasts you want, as well as Radio MD or iHeart. Thank you very much for downloading us, no matter where you got us from. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen, your host. This is Podcast 1267B, and the B's are great guests, and we have one for you today if you're interested in preventing a stroke. And of course, I am very interested in that topic myself. It's one of the things we try and get for all our executive health patients, as well as probably everybody we see. And our guest is a triple boarded neurologist, a vascular neurologist, and a interventional neurologist, Jeremy Liff, L-I-F-F, who practices on Long Island, but is an expert at NYU in this subject. By the way, you can find more about him at www.JeremyLiffMD.com. No punctuation, JeremyLiffMD.com. Jeremy, how did you get into this field? What drove you to get into vascular neurology?
Thank you for having me, first of all. I guess I was always interested in the brain as a kid. And when I eventually went to medical school and decided to become a doctor, all of the brain courses were the ones that were most interesting to me. I actually, before I went to medical school, I was able to participate as a research assistant up at Columbia in the Neurological Institute, and they were doing a lot of research in terms of strokes and cerebral localization, meaning how do we figure out what parts of the brain control what parts of our activity based upon people that have had strokes. And I was absolutely fascinated by it. So I was kind of primed when I went to medical school. And then from there, I just trained in neurology and then just went on to formal training in vascular neurology. And here I am.
Fantastic. So if you had to say, what's the key? We know that blood pressure is important, but what are the other keys?
Yeah, certainly blood pressure. I think eliminating toxins and eating the right things. So obviously, smoking, cessation of smoking is the big one. I think in terms of younger patients, vaping now is a big deal. And it would be great if people just stopped vaping and looking at it as if it's some sort of benign way to switch out your cigarettes. It's not. But then in terms of diet, I think more and more the importance of eating foods which do not lead to insulin resistance. So low on the sugar, low on the processed foods, and really being in a situation in which you don't develop prediabetes or diabetes. And if you do, making sure that it's totally under control. I think the patients that I have seen who have had the most strokes, especially the small strokes and had their brains riddled with small strokes, are really the ones who have diabetes and don't have it controlled at all. So I think that's probably the most important thing after blood pressure.
Now, there was an article, I think just a week or so ago, on even sugar substitutes being associated with mini vascular strokes in the brain. Is that due to inflammation or is there a specific vascular phenomenon?
It's interesting. It's like the substitutes that we've developed and thinking that those are healthier ways because maybe they don't spike your insulin. They actually can lead to certain metabolic dysfunction, which ends up leading to inflammation and ends up leading to atherosclerotic disease in a similar fashion. And sometimes it could be even worse. I remember even when I was a kid and they talked about NutraSweet, they were talking about it in terms of leading to possible cancers. But now, like 30 or 40 years later, we know that even the substitutes that we use can lead to inflammation. And some of them, I think Truvia has additives to actually make the substance into, it looks more like sugar and actually can make you hypercoagulable, actually can lead to clotting. So you have to be very, very careful.
Right. That's some of the sugar alcohols increase the clotting risk.
Yes.
What role does baby aspirin play? So we have a series of questions people often ask us about preventing strokes, and they talk about the GLP-1s, the statins, and baby aspirin. Can you cover those? Should everybody think about it? Everybody who doesn't do dangerous activities such as skiing without a helmet. Should be everybody like that be on baby aspirin for stroke prevention who is over the age of 50?
Not necessarily. I think, first of all, it needs to be a case by case. Your doctor should be the expert in deciding, even if you take a baby aspirin. There really is not much recommendation in terms of primary stroke prevention, meaning you've not had a stroke or TIA before and you're trying to prevent the first time in terms of taking aspirin. Certainly, secondary stroke prevention, oftentimes the bedrock of medication is aspirin, although if the reason for your stroke was something like atrial fibrillation, where you had a large cardioembolic event, then you might end up being on something like anticoagulation and not aspirin and not the combination of the two. So I wouldn't just start taking it for prevention. It can lead to side effects like gastritis and like bleeding, as you know. And if there's no indication, you shouldn't initially start taking it. In terms of statins, you know, the recommendation certainly is that most people that end up having a thrombotic event, whether it's cardiovascular or cerebrovascular, end up on a statin. But certainly, I don't think it's something you should just start taking without knowing much about your cholesterol picture or having had any previous issues, especially not before you consult with your own physician, who should know a lot more about you specifically.
And people always ask now about the GLP-1s, since the articles have come out that independent of weight loss, they prevent some serious problems. Is stroke one of them?
Yeah, because you're talking about increasing your ability to process glucose, decreasing insulin resistance. So just as we said before, at the very least, indirectly, that could lead to a decrease in stroke risk. It's funny, I was just seeing a patient today who was wondering if they were suffering from, they were having some eye issues. And as we know, and as we learn a little bit more about the side effects of these medications, a very atypical form of eye changes can occur. I said, well, you know, you do need to see an ophthalmologist, but both myself and the cardiologist, and he had lost about 70 pounds and his A1C had dropped. I said, I would make sure that that's actually what's going on before you change this, because it's done so much good for you already. You know, in any medication, it's risk benefit, but yeah, it's been a pretty large game changer in terms of lowering the risk of diseases that come from insulin resistance.
We're talking with Dr. Jeremy Liff. Website is Jeremy, JeremyLiffMD.com, who practices on Long Island, a vascular neurologist, about stroke prevention. So the hallmarks, you've said, are some lifestyle changes. If you are overweight, but avoid sugar, syrups, added sugars, processed food, how much does that decrease your risk compared to being overweight and having a sugar habit?
Good question. It speaks to the idea that you could have subcutaneous fat and overweight, but not have potentially visceral fat. There are healthy obese people and there are non-healthy normal weight people, and it has more to do with the amount of visceral fat or the fat that you've packed around your organs like your liver and your heart than it has to do with how you actually look on the outside. I think that if you're overweight, there's no question that losing weight or doing whatever you can to lose more weight can't be hurtful if you do start to exercise when you haven't. But there's also no question that there are much more refined ways of looking at your metabolic function than just knowing how much you weigh. And if you are eating better and you're laying off the sugar and you're laying off the high fructose corn syrup and the other things that poison our liver, then you're doing better than if you are doing those things, even if you're at the same weight.
I always feel like maybe there's something I haven't asked you that you want to talk to us about. Is there?
I guess I would just say, in the spirit of Stroke Awareness Day, that if you do end up experiencing the signs or symptoms of a stroke, which essentially are the painless onset of sudden dysfunction, painless and sudden, like visual changes, weakness or numbness on one side or sudden imbalance, that you should seek medical attention immediately. Even if it went away with after a few minutes or it is, hasn't gone away but it's minor, you should still seek medical attention as if it's major, because it could become major very quickly. And getting to treatment is the most helpful. Getting to treatment as soon as you can is most likely to lead to a good result.
That's such a great point because, as we say, time saved is brain saved. So thank you very much for bringing that up.
Sure.
You've been listening to Jeremy Liff, L-I-F-F, MD.com is his website. He practices on Long Island. He's out of NYU. Talk about stroke prevention. And I think we talked about lifestyle changes that involve things that reduce your sugar consumption and your sugar substitute consumption, managing blood pressure and cholesterol, and working through your primary care physician to talk about cholesterol management and maybe the GLP-1s. One of the great points he brought up is remember if you have painless lack of function of one side or another, or difficulty speaking or funny face on one side, get help fast. And so you should know where your nearest stroke treatment center is, especially if you're over the age of 45 or caring for someone who is. This has been Dr. Mike Roizen, You, the Owner's Manual podcast, 1268B. The B's are always wonderful guests like Dr. Jeremy Liff. The A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. But starting at 1268A, there are a series of five on supplements and small molecules you might consider, and that's a four or five part segment starting at 1288A. You can tell your friends about us, rate us. Thank you for downloading us. We are, as usual, brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, to find the double-blind, randomized controlled trials supporting those supplements. And the other sponsor is 4Youngevity.com. Sign up for their free newsletter at the number 4Youngevity.com. Thank you, Dr. Liff, and especially thank you, our listeners. You're the reason we do this.